On your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 22. I want to remind you that we'll be having a baptismal service following the evening service tonight, so keep that in mind. Genesis chapter 22. I want to begin reading at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you have preserved your inspired and infallible word. You've given it to us. You give us not only your word, but you give us opportunities to gather and study it together. And we pray that our time would be profitable today. As we do that, we ask your Spirit to be our teacher. And we pray that you would speak to the heart of each of us who are here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to continue with our study of this man, Isaac. Last Sunday night we began looking at Isaac not just as a very detailed Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as an individual who lived and walked and worked in this world. A man who was subject to like passions as we are. A man who had the same old nature, and as a result, the same conflicts and lusts and desires and feelings and thoughts and emotions that we have. And so, this morning, as we did last Sunday night, we want to focus on the life of Isaac. And we want to begin by way of review where we did last Sunday night. And this is with the first recorded words that Isaac spoke. We see those words here in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Last week we looked at the first two words that Isaac spoke, and those words are, My father. And we saw that those words are an expression of submission and surrender to authority. We talked about how they convey to us the thought that Isaac was in submission and obedient to his parents. And that's particularly significant here in Genesis chapter 22 because, as we saw last week, we are, in all likelihood, looking at Isaac in his teenage years, perhaps about the age of 17. And what we see is a teenager who isn't dishonoring his father and mother, but honoring them. And he's doing that about 400 years before the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He's doing it about 400 years before that fifth commandment was written on earth. It was certainly written in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 89 tells us, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But even though that commandment was not written on earth yet, it was written in the heart of men. was written in Isaac's heart. Young people, it's written in your heart. That's why every time you bow and you harden your neck and you rebel against the authority of your parents and you sass them and smart mouth them, dishonor them, there's that pain in your heart. At least, I hope that it's still a pain in your conscience, a hurt that stabs you until you go back and apologize for what you said or done. But you know, maybe you have rebelled so much and dishonored so long and so often that what was once a very stabbing and sharp pain of conviction is now just a twinge. And what was once a tender heart is now a hard and cold and callous heart. If that's your state today, young or old, as you sit in this meeting, you're on dangerous ground. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That is the corollary to the Fifth Amendment, or rather the Fifth Commandment of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Proverbs 29:1 is God's commentary. One of his commentaries, at least, on Exodus 20 and verse 12, the fifth commandment. Folks, you cannot trifle. You cannot trifle and fool around with the Word of God and somehow think that the consequences of sin don't apply to you. There are teenagers today who are out in eternity. They lost their lives because they did not honor their father and their mother. There are adults whose lives have been cut short because they did not honor their father and their mother. Young people, older people, the things that we're talking about this morning apply to every one of us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Isaac honored his father and his mother. He submitted to their authority, and it was a pattern of behavior all through his life. We talked about that Sunday night. We see it here at the age of 17. We see it in Genesis chapter 24 when he's 40 years of age. We see it in Hebrews chapter 11 between the ages of 60 and 75. All through his life. All through Sarah and Abraham's life. And I emphasize that again this morning. Because you cannot honor your father and mother after they're dead and gone. It's too late then. You can stand at their grave and leave all kinds of flowers and weep and mourn all you want. But your days for being able to honor them are over. Isaac honored his parents to the last year of Abraham's life. Isaac honored and respected his father, and God honored Isaac with long life. We mentioned last week Genesis 35 and verse 28. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. Old and full of days. And again, the message isn't just for young people. It applies to all of us in our relationship with our Father in heaven. Submission and surrender to the authority of God and His Word, honoring God and His Word, will prolong our days. And may I say that first and foremost, it will prolong our days with eternal life. when this life is over. People get saved when they honor their Father in heaven. People get saved when they say, "My Father." And they come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and they cry out to Him. And He saves them. And He prolongs our days with eternal life. Have you honored your Father in heaven? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? These first two words that Isaac spoke, "My Father," are very important words and instructive words. But let's notice the rest of what Isaac said in verse 7. He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac's words here not only ask a question, but they reveal something else. Notice that he did not ask, "Dad, what is the meaning of these things? What are we going to do with the fire and the wood?" No, Isaac knew what the fire was for. And he knew what the wood was for. And he knew that a lamb was needed for the burnt offering. Christian instruction, Christian education had taken place in Isaac's life. Abraham had taught his son about these things. He had taught him about the burnt offering. He had taught him about the fire and the wood and the lamb and what those things presented. You could almost hear him. "Isaac, the wood represents our sin. The fire represents the judgment of God against our sin. And the lamb points to the Lamb of God, who's going to come and offer Himself in our place as a sacrifice for our sin." Christian education always begins at home. Turn over for just a minute to Exodus chapter 12, if you will. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord in this chapter is giving instructions for the Passover feast as the children of Israel prepare to leave Egypt. For the sake of time, notice what Moses says in verse 24 as he is conveying the Lord's instructions to the elders of Israel. He says in verse 24, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." Now notice verse 26. "And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, 'What mean ye by this service?' that ye shall say, 'Go ask the Sunday school teacher. Go ask the pastor. Go ask the Christian school teacher.'" It doesn't say that. It says that ye shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover." Ye shall say, "Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's not too far over there. If you'll turn over there to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look at verse 6. "And these words, God says, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Yes, God uses Sunday school teachers. He uses pastors and teachers and Christian school teachers. They're part of God's plan to teach our children the truth. But first and foremost in God's plan are parents. Sometimes I think we delegate that responsibility to these other people because it's convenient, or because we're too tired or too busy or too involved with other things. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord gives Daniel and us one of the characteristics of the last days. The Lord told Daniel, many shall run to and fro. Many shall run to and fro. And that includes God's people. Is that not a description of our day? Running to and fro. Running to and fro and so caught up in the affairs of this life that we don't have time for that which is needful. And that is pleasing Him who had called us to be a soldier. And that includes bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Abraham did not delegate his responsibility for Isaac's spiritual training. He taught him. He taught him the truth. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22, if you will. In verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I believe Abraham taught his son about these things. But our subject is not Abraham, it's Isaac. And what we want to see in the life of Isaac is his response to the teaching. His response to the teaching. And young people, I hope that you'll notice very carefully Isaac's response to the teaching. In verse 7, we noted a moment ago that Isaac's words here not only ask a question, but they also reveal something else. And the something else that they reveal is knowledge. Isaac had spiritual knowledge. He'd been taught by his father, and he knew all about the fire and the wood and the lamb. But what good is spiritual knowledge? What good is spiritual knowledge? I believe that the Spirit of God shows something about spiritual knowledge here. And I believe that He sets before us an eternally important contrast between spiritual knowledge and spiritual belief. Notice again verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Now look at verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. In verse 7, Isaac has spiritual knowledge of the elements of the sacrifice. In verse 9, Isaac is the sacrifice. In verse 7, the knowledge is in Isaac's head. In verse 9, the knowledge is in his heart. In verse 9, we see that Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. In verse 9, it's not the lamb that's in the place of death. It's Isaac that's in the place of death. In verse 7, Isaac talks about the wood. And as we have seen, wood is a picture of sinful humanity. And it's easy to talk about sinful humanity. It's easy to talk about how bad sin is and to speak of it in general terms that reveal that we have a knowledge about the sinfulness of man. Particularly other men, other people. But in verse 9, Isaac is laying on the wood. He's in contact with it. He's touching it and feeling it. And I think that speaks to us of personal identification with our sin. It's one thing to talk about sin in general. It's one thing to talk about the wood and how it needs to be burned and how it needs to be consumed. It's another thing entirely to talk about our own sin and how it needs to be dealt with. In verse 9, as Isaac lies on the wood, as he lies there feeling it, and I'm sure it was painful to lie on that wood. The Spirit of God tells us in verse 3 that Abraham had clave the wood for the burnt offering. That means that he had split it and broken it up and cut it in pieces. When you do that, the pieces are not perfect. They'll be uneven. They'll be jagged. They'll have splinters sticking out of them. If you've ever split any wood, I know that some of you look at me and say, can't imagine that guy ever splitting wood. Well, I did when I was younger. We had a wood stove. And by the time that we paid for the hernia that I got from busting up the wood, and we compared that to the savings on our electrical bill, we came out in the hole. But one thing I learned about splitting wood is when it's split, you better be careful about going and picking it up, because you'll feel your hand really quick with splinters. And so here's Isaac lying on that. These jagged and uneven and splintery pieces of wood. And as Isaac lies there in the place of death, dying to self, that's the picture here, feeling the effect of his sin, identified with his sin. What we see is this teenager taking his place as a sinner. And what the Spirit of God is showing us is the difference between a head knowledge of the truth and a true belief of the truth. In verse 7, Isaac illustrates what it means to have a knowledge of the truth. And as I think about that, I think about this church. The people that attend this church. If you come to this church on a regular basis, you certainly have a knowledge of the truth. You young people who come to this church and you come to this school, you have this knowledge of the truth. You know all about the fire and the wood and the lamb for a burnt offering. You know all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know all about His coming into the world and His death on the cross of Calvary for your sin. You know all about His resurrection, and you know all about His ascension back to heaven, and all about His coming again. You have all of this knowledge. You can talk about it in a very impressive way, just as Isaac did here. But that's all that you have. A head knowledge of the truth. You've never come to the place of death and died to self and identified personally with your sin and taken your place as a sinner and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Beside verse 7, I believe that you can write head knowledge. And beside verse 9, I believe you can write heart knowledge. Head and heart. Head and heart. That's what the writer of the tract, Missing Heaven by 18 Inches, was talking about. The difference between knowledge in the head and belief in the heart. Young people, adults, what do you have this morning? On what are you resting your eternal soul? The knowledge that you have in your head, or the belief that you have in your heart? Are you living in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 22 or verse 9? Have you truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can. Right now, right where you are, you can say, "My Father." You can honor Him by coming to Him with a broken spirit, with a contrite heart over your sin, and ask Him to save you. There is another point that we want to think about again for those who are saved. Relates back to something that we were talking about last week. We talked about verse 19, where we're told that Abraham returned unto his young men. And we talked about how we aren't specifically told that Isaac returned, and of course he returned. But the Spirit of God wrote this verse this way, so that the next time that we actually see Isaac, he's waiting to receive his bride as Abraham's eldest servant goes to bring her. Just as the Lord Jesus is waiting to receive His bride, as the Holy Spirit works in the world to draw men and women and young people to the Lord Jesus. But not only are we not specifically told that Isaac came down from the mountain, we aren't specifically told that Isaac got off the altar. And what that pictures is how we are to live the Christian life. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We received Him in the place of death, identified with our sin, taking our place as a sinner and dying to self. That's what Genesis 22:9 presents to us. And that's how we are to live each day. That's how we're to live each day. That verse, Genesis 22:9, not only brings before our minds Colossians 2:6, and it does bring that verse before us, but Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Brings before our minds Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Isn't that what Isaac was? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're saved today. How are we doing? How are we doing? Are we walking as we received Christ Jesus the Lord? Are we living as those who have been crucified with Christ and yet live? Are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You that Your Word is true. We thank You that we can rest our eternal souls upon it. We pray this morning that if there's anybody here who is lost, they may have immense Bible knowledge in their heads. Father, we pray that this would be the morning when they believe in their heart the message of the gospel. That this would be the morning, as Isaac, that they identify themselves with their sin. And there in the place of death, they surrender their heart to You. Father, we pray that for those who are saved, that You would help us to understand the need in our lives to live for You in these last days. In the midst of the confusion and the turmoil and the running to and fro, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice to You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.